Let's stand for the last two verses, please. Verses 4 and 5, stand and sing. Can I ask you please to turn back with me in God's Word this morning to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And before we come to the Word of God for this morning, can we just still our hearts please in a word of prayer and pray that the Lord will speak and speak clearly out of his word to all of our hearts this morning. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, as we come now to thy precious word, we come, Lord, to thank thee that this day we have the very words of God. We thank thee, O God, that the very book that we hold in our hands today is thy word, not the imaginations or the thoughts of men, but the very word of God. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come to thy word for this morning's service, we pray, Lord, that you'll come and speak. We ask, O God, that this day, beyond the voice of this preacher, we pray, Lord, that we'll hear the voice of God. We pray, Lord, that we'll be instructed. We ask, O God, that we will be taught today. Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of God to me. Illuminate the pages of Holy Scripture this now, just now. Lord, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that you be pleased to apply thy word. Answer prayer and continue on with us. Give us help to hear. Give us help to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we last met with Nehemiah some weeks back and the various workers on the wall, we saw how that the work of rebuilding was progressing very well. All the people, with a few exceptions, were coming together and getting the various parts of the wall rebuilt. And especially as we came through the chapter 3 of Nehemiah, we were looking at the various gates which were rebuilt and repaired around the wall itself. And each of those gates a very special significance and a very central role to play in the whole rebuilding project. However, perhaps Nehemiah's greatest challenge was yet ahead of him. Because as we come into the next few chapters, and especially this chapter 4, we see an increasing and a persistent attack upon the work of God. Already, we have noticed how that Nehemiah met with opposition. We met that in chapter 2, the hostility that he had, the burden and the vision that he had for the work of God was met with great opposition, especially there in chapter 2. But as we come into this fourth chapter now, this morning, we see this opposition growing and intensifying. In this chapter, we learn a lot about the enemy. We learn a lot more about the attacks on the work of God that come from without, and then as we come into chapter 5, the attacks that came from within. But not only do we learn about the enemy here, we also learn, and we will look at these in the weeks that lie ahead, we learn vital lessons as to how we are to deal with such opposition. Because there is one sure thing, dear believer, today, that as you seek to do a work for God, and as you seek to live for God and live right before the Lord and take your stand for God wherever you may be, as you seek to advance His cause and take forward His work, you will be sure of opposition. That's exactly what is happening here to Nehemiah. As he and the people worked together, as they went about the great task of rebuilding the walls and restoring the city to its former glory, and of course, as we have noticed, they were doing this ultimately for the cause and the honor of the Lord. They realized that the honor of the Lord was at stake. But as they did that, there was great hostility. The devil sought to stir up the hearts in an attempt to weaken and to hold back the servants of God. The devil sought to hinder and to halt the work of God. There's a very telling little phrase that I just want us to notice in passing this morning, and then we will come to the message. At the very end of verse number 11, the whole reason as to why this attack came, this attack that we will look at today, the whole reason that it came is summed up for us in that little phrase at the end of verse number 11. It was to cause the work to cease. And that is the devil's prime aim and sole purpose. The devil knows that the work of God can never be defeated. The devil knows probably more than we know just how victorious our Lord is, the great King of His church. But the devil can seek and does seek to cause the work of God to cease. And as over the next number of weeks we consider this attack that came, and especially today, that's what I want you to remember yourself. Why is all of this happening? Why is the attack coming? It's to cause the work of God to cease. As we make our way through this chapter, we see just how fierce and how intense this opposition gets. I believe in Nehemiah chapter 4, the enemy, the mask has well nigh slipped. The subtlety and the sarcasm encountered by Nehemiah in chapter number 2 now reaches an entirely different level here in this chapter. And so as we come to look at the first few verses of this chapter this morning, we have entitled the subject before us today, The Fierceness of the Foe. The Fierceness of the Foe, because I believe it sums up the first three verses of Nehemiah chapter 4. Some things we want us to notice here from these verses. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the swiftness of this attack. The swiftness of this attack. Notice the words in verse number 1. These words are very interesting. They're very instructive concerning the fierceness of the foe here. The timing of this opposition is worth noting here. Notice what it says. Came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. The wall wasn't finished. The work was still ongoing. But as soon as the work commenced and the work was going forward and the work was progressing and the people were coming together, immediately then the opposition came. As we've said, the work was yet to be finished. But at the first signs of blessing in the work of God, then the opposition really got going. When Nehemiah faced the opposition in chapter 2, the work had not yet started. The bricks had not been in place. The wall was still in ruins. The enemy looked at the greatness of the task and believed that the work would never actually be done. But the work was done. And the wall was built. The gates were repaired. Nehemiah was experiencing blessing in the work of God. But as soon as that blessing came, the devil was hard on the heels of it. You see, the building of the work of God indicated that God's servant was experiencing blessing in the work. The work was going forward under God. God was using Nehemiah, but as soon as reports of that blessing got to the ears of the enemy, Satan riled up the opposition. Riled it up to oppose the work with great vigor and great energy. You see, dear believer, today, the blessing of God upon your life, the blessing of God upon any work that you seek to do for the Lord, it will always solicit the attack of the enemy. And I do believe here that the lesson from Nehemiah is that the more that you seek to do for God, the greater the work that you are involved in, then the greater the opposition will come. The only reason that Nehemiah and the people experienced this opposition was because they were engaged and they were involved in the work of God. If these people had been sitting about, not doing anything, not concerned about the state of the walls, not concerned about the state of the work, they posed no threat to Satan. But as soon as you seek to do a work for God, Satan sees you as a threat, and he will do what he can to hinder. I think it's worthy to note that these people did not encounter the opposition because of themselves. They did not encounter the opposition or the wrath of the enemy because of anything in themselves. It wasn't due to their lifestyle or their laziness or a lack on their part, not at all. They were being faithful to God. They were, as we read there in verse number 6, they had a mind to work. They were seeking to put God first in their lives. They were more desirous about the glory of God than the honor of their own name. These were people in the will of God, and their character and their conduct certainly did not merit the attack or the opposition that they face, but nonetheless it came. The old devil is never slow in his attempts to stop and hinder the work of God. When we think back to chapter 2, it was as soon as Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, as soon as he had set foot in the city, that Sanballat and Tobiah immediately rose up to resist the work. And when he heard of their plans to rebuild again, and the vision that Nehemiah had in Nehemiah 2 verse 19, again, immediately the devil came and laughed Nehemiah to scorn. You see, Satan doesn't sit back and wait until the work is finished or the work is really flourishing in order to mount his attacks. But at the least sign of blessing, and the least sign that the work God is working and the work is going forward, then the devil will be straight in there to attack and to oppose the work of God and, remember, to cause the work to cease. Therefore, we should not be surprised when the attack comes, especially when it comes so swiftly. We should not be taken aback when the enemy does attack and when the enemy does oppose. And of course, that opposition can come, as we will see in later studies, in various ways. In the history of the Church of Jesus Christ is littered with attacks from the evil and wicked one. You think of shortly after the day of Pentecost, that day when the blessing of God was mightily poured out. It wasn't too long till the devil stirred up opposition. You think of the ministry of the great apostle Paul in the many places that he went preaching the gospel. And there was much hostility and much opposition in the midst of much blessing. And right throughout the history of the church, you think of those who in Reformation times stood faithful to the Lord. Those who were burned, those who gave their lives, those who would not give up on their service for the Lord, those who walked with God, those who sought to live their lives right before God, and yet the opposition came. And for many it cost them their lives. And so even in the midst of great blessing, there still comes great opposition. And why should we be any different in this present age? We certainly don't go out of our way to look for opposition. But we must not be surprised when it comes. Because when God starts to bless his people, and when God stirs up and energizes the work of God, and people, God's people, have that desire to work and that desire to be involved in the work, well, the devil will see to it immediately that he will do what he can to hold it back and to hinder it. This opposition here in chapter 4, it came very quickly. Immediately the work was moving forward. Immediately the work was progressing. Straight in there was the devil, in the person of Sanballat and Tobiah. Yet, folks, we must never allow such opposition to keep us from doing the work of God. We must never allow the reality that the devil will attack to keep us from going forward in the work of God. Because if we were to give up at the least sign of opposition, then the devil has won. Remember why Nehemiah is in Jerusalem. Why is he here? Why did the work go on in chapter 3? And the work, as we will see, continue to go on. Because Nehemiah had a divine call and a divine commission and a divine command to do the work of God. Nehemiah was right in the very center of the will of God, and yet he encountered opposition. People will tell you, if you're experiencing opposition today, well, you must be outside the will of God. You must be where God doesn't want you to be. No. Here is Nehemiah, right in the very place where God wanted him to be. God didn't want Nehemiah in the palace. God wanted Nehemiah in the city. He was where God wanted him to be, and yet in the center of God's will, he was experiencing opposition. And folks, the greatest storm might arise in your life, but that storm may be right in the very center of God's will for your life. And the opposition may come so quickly and so unexpectedly. We will see in later studies how Nehemiah reacted to this. But I want you just for a moment just to picture the scene. And think back, if you will, to those studies that we had in Nehemiah chapter 3. And think of the excitement, think of the enthusiasm that there was in the work of God. And God's people were coming together. And there's great joy as to what God was doing. It must have been a great scene there. And all the workers working together, moving together, taking the work of God forward together, and yet Satan sought to attack. Satan, the devil, wants us to give up at the first sign of opposition. His plan in stirring up Sanballat and Tobiah from the work was to keep Nehemiah and the people from the work. But dear believer, today, don't allow the opposition to obstruct you in your living for God. There is the swiftness of the attack which came. But I want us now to see the bitterness of this attack. Look again at verse number 1. It says, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. This opposition from these people was exceptionally bitter. It was full of rage and hatred. This was not just some mild dislike that Sanballat and, as we'll see, Tobiah had for Nehemiah or the people of God. This was a bitter hatred of God's servant and God's work. Sanballat was in a rage. We see the bitterness of that rage in those two words and phrases employed there in verse 1. He was wroth and took great indignation. The word wroth there means that he was literally glowing with anger. He was totally incensed. And the word indignation there again means to be in a rage. And when it's preceded by the word great there, it magnifies the intensity of this rage. Here was a man who was fuming. Here was a man who was angry. We would say the steam was coming out of this man's ears. His face was so bright with anger and hatred and hostility toward God's servant. He was in a fit. This anger was burning him up. And it was consuming him. It was taking over his life. This was a very bitter attack that Nehemiah was experiencing here. This was a man who was so filled with rage that it was evident for all to see. But let's remind ourselves as to why. Why was Sanballat so eaten up and taken up with hatred and anger? It was because the work of God was progressing. It was because the work of God was prospering. Does that not just show you again, as if we should ever forget, just how the enemy hates the work of God? We should not, as the people of God, expect the praise or the platitudes of this world. We should expect the resistance and the opposition of this world. And that's exactly what Nehemiah is experiencing here. How telling and how sad that someone can be so consumed with hatred at the blessing of God. How sad when someone can be so taken up with rage at the hand of God being upon the work of God. Sanballat's reaction personifies the reaction of Satan when God's blessing his work. When Satan sees his power and his kingdom under threat. When Satan sees the people of God being stirred up to the work and be enthusiastic in the work. He himself is full of rage towards the work of God. But thank God. Thank God when the devil is full of rage, he's full of rage for a reason. And that reason is that the work of God is moving forward and the work of God is going forward. May in this day and generation in which we live, may Satan be filled with rage because of the work of Sandown Free Presbyterian Church. May we give Satan a reason and our enemies a reason to be filled with rage as we seek to take the work of God forward and see souls being saved and see his kingdom pulled back. May we be a thorn in the side of the devil. We're not out to please the world. We're out to preach the gospel. And we saw yesterday the preaching of the gospel causes offense. So be it. We preach Christ. We preach Christ crucified. And we do not water down or we do not dull down the message just because the world doesn't want to hear it and the world reacts against it. Oh, may the devil be full of more rage because of what God is doing. Here is Sanballat in this rage, a bitter attack upon the servant of God. It rules his life. Here's a man who is ruled by rage, and that's never a good state of mind to be in, because it's no knowing where that will take you to. Yes, at times we can feel annoyed and upset at things and angry, but that emotion must never be allowed to overtake us. And I say that as much to my own heart as anyone else. There is most certainly a righteous anger, an anger at sin and the effects of it. But even that in itself must not lead to rage. I was reading an article this week, and it asked about the greatest compassion that we, as the people of God and the Church of Jesus Christ, could show to this world. And it asked the various questions, you know, about being social and reaching out and trying to help people in need, and that's fine. But the article said, and I concur with it, that the greatest compassion that we can show to this world is to preach Christ to this world. The greatest compassion that we can show to a world that's lost and dying in sin and on their way to hell is to tell them of Jesus Christ. Can I say to you today in love to your souls, if you're here without Jesus Christ and you're not saved, the greatest form of compassion that I or anyone can show to your soul is to tell you of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. But even as we become disturbed and annoyed with all that's going on around us, we must never allow that to lead us to a rage. As we read in Proverbs 29:22, a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Here was Sanballat. Didn't even take time to think about his reaction or his response, but as soon as he heard of the news of the work of God, blessing and the work of God going forward, he flew into a rage. He flew into a fit. Such was his antagonism toward God's work and towards God's servant. This must have been a very bitter and a very difficult experience for Nehemiah to witness and to see and to listen to. Someone who was so filled with rage and hatred towards the work. But all Sanballat was doing was multiplying sin upon sin. One sin leading to another sin. And the only hurt that he was doing was to himself. It was all vented towards Nehemiah and the people of God. Satan attacks subtly. But more often than not, Satan attacks bitterly when he sees the work of God going forward. And that's what's happening here in these opening verses of Nehemiah chapter 4. There is the swiftness of this attack. There is the bitterness of this attack. But notice as well here the aggressiveness of this attack. You see, the bitterness very quickly demonstrated itself now in aggressive words and actions. You know, as I think of these verses 2 and 3 that we'll come to, and panic not, we're not going to spend all the time in these two verses. But as we think of the aggressiveness of this attack, I think very well we could sum up. And these are the demonstration of the words in Matthew 12 and 34, where it says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And out of the abundance and the hostility and the anger of Sanballat's heart, the old mouth spoke. This rage was very quickly turned into slander and all sorts of derogatory comments about the people of God. At the end of verse 1, he says that he mocked the Jews. He derided them. He made little of them. As you come into verse number 2, you see that he spread his slime and his slander around all who care to listen. Verse 2, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria. He wanted to tell everybody who cared to listen. And he didn't care what he said. He slandered God's servant and the people of God to all and sundry. And folks, this is a classic method by someone who is so filled with rage and hatred. What do? They slander all around them. They speak ill to all who wants to listen. You see, Sanballat was putting a case here together. He wanted to be shown as the big guy. He wanted to be shown as the one on the side of right, and everybody else was wrong. Well, he didn't want to miss the opportunity now to put God's people and to put Nehemiah down. We see this aggressive approach continue on into verse 2. The words that Sanballat uses here in this verse to speak of the people of God and the servant of God, it shows just the level of contempt and hatred that he had. There are 5 short questions that Sanballat puts to the people, to this ready audience that he had as he sought to slander the people of God. 5 short questions, and we'll very, very quickly go through them. He says, first of all, in verse number 2, he asks the question, what do these feeble Jews? He questions their fitness for the work. These people were anything but feeble. These were strong people. But of course, the devil never allows the truth to get in the way of a good lie. But he calls them feeble. He seeks to belittle them. These are people, they're not up for the task. They're not fit for the work of God. They're not qualified or suited to the work. These feeble Jews, thank God they did a mighty work for God. And their strength came not of themselves, it came from the power of God. And if they were so feeble, as Sanballat makes out, then why was Sanballat so filled with rage toward them? Why was he so worried about them? But rather it was their determination to do the work and to get on with the work that Sanballat was moved with rage. He questions their fitness for the work. And then look in verse 2, another question he asks, will they fortify themselves? Now he questions their faltering. The word fortify there means to leave. Sanballat sought to sow the seeds of discord amongst the workers by claiming that they would leave the work. Again, a classic tactic of the opposition. Don't worry about the work, because the people will leave it and the walls will be derelict and everything will just go back to the way it was. Because these people are not up to it anyway. They're not suited to it. They're not qualified for it. Nehemiah will soon leave the city and go back to the palace and go back to the easy life. That's what he wanted to happen. These people were going nowhere, because these people were going to continue on with the work of God. Another question he asks in verse 2, will they sacrifice? Now he questions their faith. When Sanballat had mocked before, Nehemiah answers with that great statement of faith when he said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. And sacrifice signified their faith. And now the enemy questions their faith. Will they pray to God now and think God will help them? Will they worship God now and think that things will get any better? The ungodly will question and query our faith. They will ridicule it. What's the need to worship? What's the need to pray? Are these people going to pray the wall up? Are these people going to pray the city back to its former glory? Are these people going to pray the work forward? Well, that's exactly, as we shall see in weeks to come, that's exactly what they did. This was an attack on their faith. And our faith, which we so hold dear today, is under severe and great attack. But as Paul wrote to the Hebrew Christians and exhorted them, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For faithful is he that promised. Dear child of God, let's hold fast the profession of our faith. And no matter what the attack may come, and no matter how opposition will come, and the fierceness of it, let's hold to our faith. These people were on the side of right. These people were doing right, not in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of God. He asks another question. Will they make an end in a day? See what he's doing here? Continually slandering the people of God and trying to belittle them. Will they make an end in a day? He questions now their fervency. He questions their dedication and their enthusiasm. Well, the work's too great now. They've got this far, but they'll not be able to get any further. They're just going to finish now and they're going to go home. But the exact opposite was true. Because here were a people who were enthusiastic and who were excited about the work of God. They didn't see the problems, they saw the potential. They had a zeal. And they were excited about what God was going to do. Oh God, give us such an excitement for his work today. God, give us all such an enthusiasm for his work today. We can get excited about all sorts of things, our sports, our hobbies, our endeavors, our pursuits. But let's get excited about the work of God and let's give the devil something to be in a rage about. One final question he asks at the end of verse 2. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? All they saw was rubbish, ruin. And can these people really restore and revive those stones? The material that was used in those days was limestone and had been ruined by and destroyed by the fire during the times of captivity. And essentially Sanballat is here saying, the work that you're doing is hopeless. It's not going to go anywhere. You can't really do anything now because of the ruin of those stones. They're destroyed and they're disintegrated. And the devil will spin the lie today that the work of God can't be revived. The devil will make us look at our nation and look at our situation today. And he will tell us there is nothing good that can come now. God is finished. God's power can't do that which God had done in the past. Just stick to reading the history books of revival and don't worry about praying for revival in this generation because really it can't come. I say unashamedly today, I believe in a God of revival. And despite the darkness, and despite the evil, thank God he can revive the stones of his church. Who are they? That's you and I. Lively stones. God can revive his church today. God can work. The ruin and the rubbish of the city, it was nothing to God. Yes, God used the people, but ultimately it was the power of God resting in the people. God can restore and God can build his work again. And we say today with the words of Nehemiah, let's use his words for their good words. He said, the Lord God of heaven, he will prosper us. And when he said that, he didn't know how the work was going to go on. He didn't know how the work was going to go forward. He didn't know every last wee detail of the work, but he knew this, the God of heaven was going to prosper him. as he did right before God. We believe today in a God of revival. If not, then we might as well be silent and give up. The scoffing and the scorning soon got support. Look at verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. Birds of a feather, they always flock together. Tobiah was by Sanballat. And he joins in this chorus of ridicule. And what does he say in verse 3? Oh, even they which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break it down, break down their stone wall. Even a weak creature like a fox, break down that wall. Here's the ridicule continuing. This work won't last. This work can't go forward. They're only a bunch of amateurs and the work will fail. What do they know what they're doing? The work was going to last because it was God's work. The work was going to prevail because it was the work of God. You know, those who have no defense to offer, their only resort and their rage is to slander, to scorn, and to throw this personal, bitter abuse towards all and sundry who wanted to listen. But listen, in the end, truth always prevails. God was going to do right by his people. God was going to stand by his people. Therefore today, don't be discouraged or don't be disheartened by the fierceness of the foe, but be determined to press on and to press forward in the work of God. Nehemiah and the people were doing God's work. They were doing what God called them to do. They had a burden, they had a vision, they had a desire. They stood for truth. And yes, that meant they encountered opposition and it was fierce. It was fierce. Nehemiah had nothing to fear because he was in the center of the will of God. But that itself didn't give him immunity from the attacks of the enemy. But it did give him security on the promise of God in the midst of the work. God was blessing. The enemy was attacking. But the work was going forward. The enemy is still rampant today. Satan is still out to hinder and oppose you as you seek to do what you can for the Lord. But remember, the work's not ours. It's the Lord's work. And the Lord in his own time and in his own way will deal with the opposer. We'll see that especially next Lord's Day in the will of the Lord. But don't let the opposition hinder us or obstruct us from going forward, because that's exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants us to stop preaching the gospel. The devil wants us to stop preaching Christ. The devil wants us to stop reaching out into this community, into this city with the glorious gospel. He wants the work to cease. And I tell you, he will use all that he can and who he can to cause that work to cease. But by God's grace, let's go forward. Go forward in faith. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. God was prospering. God was going to do it again. Despite the opposition, let's keep going on. And let's keep serving God. May God bless his word. Let's bow and pray.